Romans chapter 12 today. And I'm going to read just verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's my prayer today that God would open our hearts to some things in the Spirit as I preach a new way of thinking. A new way of thinking. Here's how important I feel this subject is here today. I feel that not only could this transform someone's life for eternity, if we can find this new way of thinking, but I believe it also can bless you in your finances. It can bless you in business. It can help us in relating with others. It can help us in our relationships with our family. It can help grow this church. Amen. We need a new way of thinking today. Praise the Lord. Would you ask that God would do it? Lord, I pray that you would give us a new way of thinking. I pray that you would move upon our minds. Let our minds be renewed today. Let us be transformed today. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. Let us hear your word and let us put it to work in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And we give you all the glory, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. I don't know, but I have a suspicion that some of y'all ate a lot of turkey and a lot of pie and a lot of dressing and gravy. And you'd like to just sit here and just relax today and take it easy and hope pastor doesn't preach real long. And I'm not going to preach real long, but somebody's going to have to help me. Amen. Somebody's going to have to preach with the pastor today. Hallelujah. Oh, God's good. God is good. Amen. Paul begins these scriptures today. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I beseech you. Brothers and sisters, he says, I urge you, I plead with you, I call upon you. He appeals to our will. We are called to make a choice about the way that we live for God. By the mercies of God. How many today you know that it's only because of the mercy that God has shown us that we're able to even do anything? Aren't you thankful for God's mercy, for him reaching to where we were, for him picking us up and giving us a life that's worth living? Thank God for your mercy. Hallelujah. That's what makes it possible for us to give ourselves to his will and to his purpose in our life. We're nothing but for the mercy of God. When we consider all that God has done for us, not because we deserved it, but in his mercy, Paul calls on us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Spiritually speaking, we're to bring ourselves, our body, our soul, our spirit, to present ourselves to God and say, Lord, I'll be whatever you called me to be. I'll do it, Lord, whatever you want me to do. My life is not my own, God, but I'm going to live my life for you. 1 Corinthians 6 and 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It's only reasonable that we present ourselves as a living sacrifice. And people in Paul's day, they were well acquainted with sacrifices. Those that were Jewish and those that were Gentiles. But this concept of a living sacrifice, that was something new. a living sacrifice. This sacrifice is living because it's brought alive to the altar. This sacrifice is living because it stays alive. It lives in a whole new way once it leaves the altar. It's an ongoing thing. And we're to be a living sacrifice today, holy and acceptable unto God. There's a lot of talk about, well, I accept the Lord, but I've got to be a sacrifice unto him that's acceptable to God. Today we're living in the New Testament under a new covenant. The Old Testament was all under an old covenant, but since Calvary and the day of Pentecost, now we're under a new covenant. And in the Old Testament, every sacrifice had to be holy and acceptable unto God. Leviticus chapter 1 verse 10, it says, "And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish." Without blemish. Deuteronomy chapter 15 verse 21, "And if there be any blemish therein, as if it be lame or blind or have any ill blemish, thou shalt not sacrifice it unto the Lord thy God." Under that old covenant, there were specific rules about bringing a sacrifice to God. It wasn't to be second rate. It was to be holy and acceptable unto God. And today, there is no less requirement. Our sacrifice should be holy. It should be acceptable. It's not okay for us to give ourselves to everything else in life and then just give God the leftovers. God's looking for a holy and acceptable offering. Hallelujah. And just because we live under a new covenant with even greater mercy, aren't you thankful for the great mercy of God today? But it's only reasonable that we give even a greater sacrifice because God has been so good to us. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm thankful we live in the dispensation of grace. I'm thankful for the grace and mercy of God. But that's no excuse for us to give him any less. But because of his grace, we should go even further. It's only reasonable that we offer ourselves a living sacrifice to him completely. Romans 12:1 again. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." When we consider the great mercy of God, Paul calls us to bring ourselves as an act of worship, as a living sacrifice, holy to God, consecrated to him, acceptable. Not just what's left over, but the best we have to offer. And so I want to appeal to us today because I believe we can all look at our life and say, "God, how can I do more for you? How can I do better, Lord? How can I step it up? God, are you really pleased with my level of sacrifice? Are you really pleased with my level of commitment to you? Are you number one in my life? Are you first and foremost? Or, God, am I just kind of giving you what's left?" And if we're going to live a life that's acceptable unto God, we've got to remember what's acceptable to God is most likely not going to be acceptable to man. Sometimes when you decide, "I'm going to live a life that's acceptable unto God," there's going to be some people that say, "Well, that's unacceptable for me. If you're going to live like this, well, I can't be your friend anymore." Okay. God comes first. God comes first. I've got to be acceptable unto him. I've got to please him. I don't believe this is just by coincidence today that I'm preaching this, but I believe there's people here. You have a great calling upon your life, and God wants to do mighty and powerful things. He wants to change the world through you, but the kind of work that God is wanting to do, it's going to take a greater level of commitment upon our part. It's going to be a greater level of sacrifice. There's going to be a greater level of surrender. I've come to challenge us today. Just go ahead and surrender to God. Just go ahead and make that commitment to the Lord today. Stop holding anything back, but say, God, I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give myself as a living sacrifice on the altar, totally surrendered to you. Hallelujah. If we can get this, we'll never be the same. There'll be a transformation in our life. We'll become new. There'll be a metamorphosis that takes place in us. Oh, but I don't want to change, Pastor. I'm comfortable where I'm at. I like living my life just the way it is right now. That's why we got to keep going to the altar. Because our flesh is comfortable. It wants to stay the same way it's always been, but we can't stay there. Oh, not in goal where what God is calling us to. Something has to change. There has to be a surrender to God. Something in us has to die for us to become what God's plan has already designed for us to be. There must be a transformation that happens within our life. Be not conformed to this world, Romans 12:2, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This world, it works so hard to put pressure on us. The system of this world wants us to conform to it. Pop culture, this world's view of how things should be, the thinking of this world that is in rebellion against God. It wants us to conform to the worldly, ungodly pattern. But we have to resist that with everything we've got. There's too many people that are concerned about fitting in with the pattern of the world. How can I match up with what this world is doing? No, we've got to reject that, Paul says. Be not conformed to the world. It's really something how this world, it values diversity until it comes to Christians. You ever think about that? And let's promote diversity and diversification and variety and divergence and multiplicity and be whoever you want to be until somebody decides to not conform to the worldly viewpoint of things. Oh, you want to live according to the Bible and be different from the rest of the world? No, they don't support that kind of diversity. You want to raise your kids to value family and to dress modestly and to live a godly lifestyle and not poison themselves with drugs and alcohol and to save themselves for marriage and not give their body to everybody they come across. That's diversity. That's something different, but now we're criticized for it. Paul says, be not conformed to this world. There's a reason why we stand out. There's a reason why we dress different, why we live different, why we have different priorities. We're not letting ourselves be formed into the pattern of this world. Be not conformed to the world. Don't copy the lifestyle and the behaviors of the world. One Bible translation says it like this: don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. Did you ever play with Play-Doh? Did anybody here ever not play with Play-Doh? Isn't that something? Wow. I was going to go buy you some if you hadn't. But so you know what I'm talking about. You can take Play-Doh and you press it into a mold that looks like a person or an animal or some kind of toy, and that Play-Doh conforms to whatever mold it's been pressed into. Well, this world, that's what it wants to do with us, to press us, to mold us into the form, the pattern of the world, to make us conform to what the world wants us to be, which is always something that's in rebellion against God. And it starts at a young age. And it starts through media. It starts through peer pressure. It starts on the job, at school, wherever it is. But you feel that pressure to conform, to be like the rest of the world. And Paul says specifically, he says, do not conform to this world. This world is trying to put pressure on you. But Paul says, don't let it happen. Don't let the world press you into its mold. Don't let it conform you into an ungodly creation. God made us to show His glory. God made us to reflect Him, not the world. God made us to stand out, to be different from the world around us. Don't let this world steal and destroy what God has made you to be. He called you to be an example to them, not for you to follow the world's example. Hallelujah. And I tell you, it's a struggle to be different. It's a struggle to not give in to that pressure. But we've got to realize that the world wants us to be something less than what God has called us to be. Whether it's in the way we dress or how we live or the things we put into our bodies or into our minds, what we allow into our home, we can't let go of the marvelous things God has for us to be pressed into a cheap mold of the world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Turn to somebody and say, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. We've got to be transformed. We've got to be changed. Hallelujah. Are we different? Yes, we're different because there's been a transformation in our life. God got a hold of us and He transformed us. He's making us new. I'm not who I used to be. I don't do the stuff I used to do because I've been transformed. There's a difference that God's Spirit made in me. I want to tell somebody today, it's the best change that could ever happen. It's the best thing that could ever take place in your life. It's for the power of God to get a hold of you and transform you, to make you new, to call you out of this world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that transformation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He made us new. It's not just that He forgave us of the past, but He made us new. He changed us. He made us a new creation. Only God can do that kind of work. You can't just decide, well, I'm going to get my act together and I'm going to turn over a new leaf. No, it's something that God has to do, that He does it inside of us. He changes us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We put off the old man, the old ways, and we put on the new man. It's like changing clothes. You put off the old clothes, the old identity, and you put on the new. There's a change. If somebody is a prisoner and they're released from prison, but they still wear their prison clothes, if they still act like a prisoner, instead of acting like a free person, the first thing we tell them, you got to get some new clothes. You got to take off that old garment, that old way of living, that old way of thinking, and you got to become new. It'll change your attitude. Put off the old man and take on the new that God has created in righteousness and true holiness. And then He says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That sounds like our text. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We can't expect to become everything God wants us to be if we think like the world. And that's the point of where we're going here today. We've got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We've got to have a new way of thinking. Too many of us think Well, it's all about feelings. And we live every day based on how we feel. How do I feel today? How do I feel about my job? How do I feel about my wife? How do I feel about coming to church? How do I feel about worshiping? How do I feel about the preacher? We can't be transformed when we let ourselves stay stuck living according to our feelings, because our mind can't be renewed. Somebody needs to hear this today. God is ready to transform you. He wants to change your life completely, and His power can do that here today. He has so much more for you, but we can't stay stuck in our mind. We can't keep thinking like we've always thought. The key, we've got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I need a new way of thinking. I need you to take my mind, Lord, and make it new. I need you to transform it. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man, that's where we all start out in life. The natural man. It's the life we inherited from Adam, okay? The way we are without God. The way of this world. It can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man doesn't want the things of God, because to the natural man, the things of God are foolish. Even if we wanted to, the natural man can't understand the things of God, because they've got to be spiritually discerned. And so if somebody is struggling to find this new way of thinking, they're probably looking at things through the lens of the natural man's perspective. And they're having a hard time seeing the spiritual. If we're not praying every single day, we are looking at things through the eyes of the natural man. We've got one that believes it today. Come on, somebody. If we're seeing everything through this natural perspective, it means we're not praying and getting in the Spirit. We're not thinking about it spiritually. The natural man's thinking cannot comprehend spiritual things. When we're not praying, the enemy has the ability to work in our mind to make us think the way he wants us to think. We'll miss the things of God because we're not seeing things spiritually. We're seeing it according to the natural man. But prayer changes our thinking. Hallelujah. If we're not faithful to church, we're living life as the natural man. Our flesh will be strong. Our spirit will be weak. And we can't even understand that we're on the wrong track because we're not spiritual. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. But then 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who hath known the mind of Christ, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." This is a new way of thinking. It's not the viewpoint of the world. It's not looking at things through our natural eyes. It's the mind of Christ. Maybe there's somebody here today that you've been so confused because you're just trying to get it. And you've been trying to live for God. And you've been trying to come out of the world. You're trying to find victory today. You're trying to have an overcoming life, but it's just so hard. You have got to have the mind of Christ. Because our thinking will hold us back. Philippians 2 and 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We're going to pray today, God, give us your mind. Let our thinking be transformed. Lord, literally, take my thoughts. Take my mind. Take it away, Lord, and give me your thoughts. Give me your mind. Help me to think like you. Help me to see things spiritually, Lord. Give me wisdom beyond the natural man. Hallelujah. Does this work? Does this work? Yes, it does. I want to tell you of an example where it worked, and there are few areas of our life that people feel strongly or as strongly about things as they do about politics. People can get wound up over politics. Any way you believe. It's just politics is it's a touchy subject. Are you going to preach about politics? No, not really. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. Just make sure you vote right. Don't vote wrong. Which way is right? Pray. I believe as Christians that our viewpoints based on the Bible should influence the way that we vote. I do believe that. Is any candidate perfect? No. No. But I believe that, anyway, people feel strongly about politics. They may not agree with anything in a political party's platform, but just because grandma voted that way and daddy voted that way, they're going to vote that way. They just refuse to change because they feel strongly about it. So political thinking runs deep. It's not changed easily. Well, years ago, when we were pastoring in Texas, there was a young man that came into the church, and at first he came because a girl from our church invited him, and she was pretty. So here he comes. Isn't it something? He didn't want a girl that fit in the mold of this world. He saw something different. And I can remember that first service he came to. I took a little time to talk with him and about his views on life and culture and politics a little bit. It was really apparent that what he believed was not anything near what I believed. And I remember, I thought, man, this guy is out there. I know God can do anything, but I don't know if there's hope for this fella, you know? But he kept coming. He kept coming. And God was reaching for him. And after every church service, here he'd come. And I would see him and almost I'd be like, oh boy. Because it would wear me out because it'd be some question about what's going on in the world or some question or thought about the Bible. And I have to admit, it was just such a challenge because I was having to relate to somebody. It was like he was from a different planet. But he kept on coming. And he got the Holy Ghost. And he was baptized in the name of Jesus. And changes started taking place. Hallelujah. He started teaching Bible studies to others. He started reaching for his family. His way of thinking started shifting. Hallelujah. He ended up playing the guitar on the worship team. He ended up leading the worship team. I would have thought that he started dating the girl that had invited him to church. I would have thought her family would have never accepted him because of his political beliefs, but all of a sudden God started changing some things and he began to think different. He began to talk different. His mind was renewed. He was transformed. He became a new creature. It all started when God gave him a new way of thinking. It works, even to the point of changing how people vote. Now, I'm going to tell you that's powerful. But I can remember another guy that I worked with one time that never made it because his thinking wouldn't change. There was a man in the church in Texas that wanted me to reach out to his grandson, and this young man had gone through some major setbacks. I don't know that he even knew his dad, really. It had been hard for them financially, and he wasn't educated. He struggled. He could only get just low-paying jobs, and it was a hard life. And every time I talked with him, I tried to just get him to look up a little higher. He was always so focused on the bad that had happened to him, on how his boss was treating him unfairly, and how his dad wasn't there and how he had it so hard, and he had such great qualities. He really did have some good qualities, but if he'd just been able to look at the good in his life, it was a victim mentality. It was victim thinking. And people with victim thinking, they see everything through that lens. They believe that bad things happen to them and will keep on happening to them. They believe that any effort to change is going to fail, so there's no point in trying. This young man, he had great potential, but he was stuck in his thinking. He believed that he was a victim, would always be a victim of what others had done to him and of his circumstances in life. And because he thought that way, that's what played out in his life. Solomon said, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Are our thoughts holding us back today? Has the enemy gained control over our life because of what we think? Sometimes we've got to take authority over our mind. Sometimes you just have to say, you know what? This is my mind. I'm not going to let that kind of thought come in here. I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not going to imagine all of the negative and all the problems and how bad it could be. I'm going to change my way of thinking, and I'm going to start thinking about the goodness of God. Yes, things may be hard. Yes, it may be a struggle, but I'm trusting the Lord to bring me through this. I'm going to believe that God is well able. Come on, somebody, take authority over your thinking today. We got to reject the negative. We got to reject the destructive. We got to reject the thoughts of the world. And we replace those thoughts with positive things, with helpful and hopeful things, things from God's Word. We need a new way of thinking. As we think in our heart, so are we. Our thoughts have the power to transform us. Romans 8 and 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Isn't that something? When we think carnally, that's after the things of the world, the way of the world. When we're pressed into that mold, it brings death. But when we learn to be spiritually minded, it brings life and peace. Help us, Lord. We need a new way of thinking. In closing today, I want to go back to our text. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that's brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how we're transformed. There's got to be a renewing of our mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The greatest discovery in our life that we could ever have is to find the will of God. God, what is your will? What do you want me to do in life? What do you want me to accomplish? What's your will for who I need to marry? What's your will for what I need to do as a career? What is your will for how I'm going to serve you in your kingdom? Lord, what is your will? That is the greatest discovery. If you can discover the will of God, then I don't care what else happens. You just let the will of God happen, and you follow after the will of God, and you pray the will of God, and you submit to the will of God. That is the greatest discovery of all. How do we find the will of God? That's the question on everybody's heart. People write books about it. People talk about it. People dream of finding the will of God. How do we find it? We can't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're not going to find the will of God thinking like the world. You're not going to find the will of God through the wisdom of this world. You've got to have something that transforms you, and it has to be the renewing of your mind. God, I pray that you would get a hold of our mind, because I can't think like this world. I can't do what this world has called me for, but God, I believe there's something greater. I believe you have a call upon my life. I believe you have a blessing for me, a blessing for my family, a blessing for my kids. I believe my life has a purpose, God. That I'm not just a failure and I'm not just a victim, but you have called me to greatness. And Lord, if you can renew my mind, I can discover the will of God. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me today? Praise the Lord. God, what is your will? What is your will? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? God, I've got to discover your will. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There is a will of God for our life. It's good. It's acceptable. It's perfect. But we can't see it unless we're transformed. And how are we transformed? By the renewing of our mind. We need a new way of thinking. But Pastor, I've been in church for 40 years. Surely, I've got things figured out by now. But Pastor, I've been a Sunday school teacher, and I've been a greeter, and I've sung on the praise team and whatever. Sometimes we've been in the church a long time. Oh, but I'm a pastor. Surely I've got things figured out. Every once in a while, we've still got to have a renewing of our mind. Sometimes we get stuck in a rut. This is not even my notes, but this is probably the best part of this whole thing right here. Sometimes we get stuck in a rut in our thinking. Well, I've always done it like this. Or it's always been like this. Or I've just got used to this. I've got used to not having victory. I've got used to being this way. I've got used to this habit. I've got used to this addiction. I've got used to this problem. I'm stuck in a rut and nothing can change, so I'm just going to just sit in this rut and just keep on going this direction when God's saying, no, I've got something more for you. But it's going to take a transformation. It's going to take a renewing of our mind. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I tell you, if every Christian would truly pray and seek the presence of God and truly present themselves as a living sacrifice and say, God, not my will, but your will be done. And whatever you want me to do and however you want me to live and however you want me to think, Lord, I need to have a renewing that happens in my mind. Could there be somebody here today that you've been stuck in a rut and your thinking is stuck and your perception is stuck and your outlook on life is stuck? But God's saying, if you would let me renew you in your thinking, I will open up a whole new world that you've never seen before. Somebody today needs to take hold of that by faith. God, I need a new way of thinking. Take away these old thoughts. Take away that old pattern, Lord. And I pray that you would let me receive your thoughts and your mind and your thinking today. I wonder if you'd gather with me around this altar and say, Lord, I need a new way of thinking.